Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text, as I said before, is from our epistle reading we read just a few moments ago, especially this part in the first verses. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the hope, to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of God's gifts. Dear friends in Christ, deeds, not creeds. That was the cry of the American evangelical past, that everybody was talking about. You know, we can say what we want, but we can talk the talk, but we have to walk the walk. You know, it's one of those things. Deeds, not creeds. But a deed really, it doesn't define positivity or negativity. Because let's face it, murder is a deed. And just as much as giving money to the poor is a deed. So much, of course, in our lives seems to live in the convenient land of ambiguity. It's nice there. I don't have to stand on any firm ground in that land. And as long as I'm doing something here, right, it has to be just fine with Jesus. After all, our deeds trump the creeds. Then again, maybe what we confess about Jesus is the same work of the Holy Spirit that also strengthens us in faith toward Him and in fervent love and in charity towards one another. You see, that's Christianity. We don't pit deeds against creeds. We don't pit faith against works. Because really what happens in the church, what happens in Christianity, is that these two things, deeds and creeds, sing together in perfect harmony through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Instead, we've actually been created by the Father, we've been redeemed and fed by the Son, and we've been called to faith and to unity through the Holy Spirit, by which all Christians are called to cherish this faith and to live in charity. Paul is writing this letter from prison. He actually says, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord," and he urges us to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which we have been called. This unity in the Spirit is something that the church is really a whole, that we all should love. We should love that unity in the Spirit. We should cherish that. We've been called by the Spirit into faith. We are bound together by the great love of Christ. There's a great hymn called "Where Charity and Love Prevail." Reminds us that peace comes where both charity and love and faith are found. Yet, you know, we have to face it. We really haven't loved one another the way we should have loved one another. We have sinned grievously against one another. We've actually many times replaced charity and love with deceit and self-advancement. Paul actually calls on us to walk in the Spirit and in a manner worthy of our calling into the faith. But instead, what do? Well, we run toward the changing winds of our lusty greed, our lust, and our greedy desires. Paul calls on us to bear one another's burdens, but what do? We dump the burdens that our neighbors try to lean on us like it's a bad habit whenever a better opportunity comes along. We're called the body of Christ Yet we have tortured him with our sins. Still, St. Paul tells us that there is absolutely hope in that same Christ Jesus. Paul's message is that the unity is found through the verbs, if you will, of the Trinity. It's found through the very words of the triune God, those action words. Martin Luther King Jr. wrote from his own prison, talking about the body of Christ, he had lamented that it had been blemished and scarred in so many ways. As sinners who've been brought into the body of Christ through baptism, we are unified in the creed that St. Paul spells out for us in his letter from prison. We've done far worse to the body of Christ, his bride, than merely social injustice. We've despised the preaching of the word of Christ. We've doubted the actual words we confess in the creed. We've departed from one another, broken and at horrible odds with our brothers and sisters, who are the very bones and flesh of the body of Christ. And still, there's Paul writing from prison, writing to you who are wounders of our Lord, saying, but grace was given to each of us, each one of us, according to the measure of Christ's gift. And he spelled it out for us in language that soon gave rise to the Apostles' Creed, that the creed that we have echoed ever since the ink dried, that creed that we all believe. See, we all confess that the Father is one God who made all things. He is our Creator. And we all agree and we confess that Christ, by his death, by his resurrection, has attained and has given you and me grace. That's God's riches at Christ's expense. God's unmerited favor for you and for me. He has given that to us through his sacrifice on the cross and through his resurrection into heaven. And the Holy Spirit has called you and me into faith. And he's called us not only into the faith, but he has called us to love the unity of the Spirit, to love unity with one another in the Lord. To love each other even as he has loved us. So what does Paul do? He urges us to confess rightly and to actually love according to the grace that's been bestowed upon us. As he says there in verses 15 and 16, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. The body builds itself up in love because we recognize the love of Christ to us and the love of Christ in us for each other. You see, the church has this beautiful gift that we've been given in the Apostles' Creed, in the Nicene Creed, in the Athanasian Creed. It was crafted in truth. It was crafted in God's holy word. Each line, I don't know if you've ever read through the creed line by line, but each line is the Apostles' Creed, contrary to popular belief, the 12 apostles didn't get together and sit down and write the Apostles' Creed. It was actually developed over the first two or three centuries as each heresy would come up. Another line would be added to the creed. And usually the heresy was about the person and work of Christ. There were some that doubted that Jesus was actually born of the Virgin Mary. Hence, they said, I believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, and born of the Virgin Mary. So they had the councils, the Christian leaders got together and said, no, this is not true. We do believe that he was born of the Virgin Mary. So many of the parts of the creed were put in there because of that, in order to battle some of the errors that were happening within the church. And it was probably about 200 or 300 years after Christ that it was finalized. So we have this beautiful gift in the creed that was crafted in truth, crafted by God through God's holy word. And in it we confess the creation and goodness that was given to us by our Father. We confess that Jesus Christ is true God, who suffered, died, and was buried, and rose again for our sake. And we confess the unity that is bound by the Holy Spirit. This is the voice of the church. And it holds all of the truths of Christ. Father, it holds all the truths of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And of course, our Lord's great love for us culminates for us at the Lamb's High Feast, where together we eat the body of the Son of Man, and we have His life in us. In partaking of the sacrament, we find true unity, because the Holy Spirit has brought us to the table in fellowship, in love, and in forgiveness. And there we rise and leave God's house charged to love our neighbors, to forgive them as even as Christ has forgiven us. We're called to speak the truth, to grow in faith in Christ, who is, of course, our head, and to move as one body, waiting together for the return of our Lord and for the resurrection of all flesh. All of this we believe. All of this we confess with one voice as Christ's true church here on earth. In the Lutheran confessions, or in the Augsburg confession, each one of the points in there start with, we believe, teach, and confess. When we confess our sins, this is a different type of confession. We believe, teach, and confess is stating what we believe. And that is our unity in the body of Christ. It's the voice of the church. It's our voice. It's that solid foundation. There is no ambiguity in the creeds. It's all right there. In His name, amen and amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, now and always. Amen. Please stand now as we